Throughout the history of man, we've been seeking ways to enhance our bodies and our minds. These days, everything from using anabolic steroids for enhanced athletic performance, cosmetic surgery in the quest of beauty or youth, or the use of stem cells to fight intractable diseases. But is there something intrinsically wrong with doing so? This morning, as part of our continuing series on difficult decisions in healthcare, I'm joined by Dr. Gregory Eastwood, professor of bioethics and humanities and professor of medicine here at Upstate Medical University, to explore this fascinating and somewhat controversial subject. What's wrong with enhancing our bodies and our minds? Welcome, Dr. Eastwood. Well, we'll start there. What's wrong with enhancing our bodies and our minds? Let's start there. One could turn that around. First of all,
it's a pleasure to be back, Linda. Be back here with you for the first time you and I've met together.
Yes, it's wonderful. Like this is very, very exciting for me because this is such an interesting topic.
So one could also pose the related question, what's right with enhancing our bodies and minds? And when we all think about this critically, I think we'll all realize that we live in a sea of enhancement of our minds and bodies. Every day we are doing something to enhance our minds and bodies. When we talk about enhancement, sometimes the image of a well-known sports figure who is alleged to have been doping comes to mind and things like that. But let's just talk a minute or two about the enhancement that we sort of take for granted. And some of it's been going on for centuries. Back in the Victorian era, women wore corsets. Maybe they still do.
Actually, I know of incidents way before that. I mean, in preparing for our conversation, I found some very interesting things that way back in China, and I'm not even sure which century, women were using belladonna to open their irises, dilate their irises so that, their pupils, I'm sorry, so that you could, you know, they would look more sultry. And I know that there's been a use of psychotropic drugs for years, things like peyote for spiritual enhancement, which is a whole kind of
metaphysical kind of experience.
Belladonna
is interesting because we're not talking about the derivatives of, you know, drug derivatives of plants, but it's a drug derivative of a plant, and we use belladonna in some form today in medicine. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, goes way back.
I view this as sort of a conceptual progression from things that we accept and aren't too controversial, although even on that end of the progression, you can find a small number of people who object. And this progression goes up to things that really, for many of us, might be problematic. For example, makeup and corsets and bras and other things like that, they don't necessarily affect biology, but they are to enhance biology. And then a little bit further along that progression, things like bodybuilding, very common. And of course, we're all enjoined to be fit and trim and so on.
But to an extreme.
To an extreme.
And that's even with or without drug enhancement. People just will do the bodybuilding and it gets very extreme in some cases.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking certainly of not enhancing it with steroids or things like that. But what has been known for centuries, even millennia, that resistance, exercise against the resistance or against a weight increases your body, your muscle mass and that sort of thing. Then a little further along this spectrum, things like caffeine and alcohol. Alcohol actually is a stimulant, at least it's a social lubricant in the early phases. Of course, we're familiar with how it can be a depressant as well later on after we take too much alcohol. Marijuana, peyote, as you mentioned. Vaccinations. Let's think about vaccinations.
That's interesting. Vaccinations as an enhancement? How so?
Yes, it's an enhancement because it markedly enhances the body's immune system.
Oh.
It takes advantage of a natural phenomenon and enhances it many, many times over what would be natural. And of course, most people would think that it's entirely appropriate to vaccinate their children against measles, and vaccinate adults against hepatitis or what have you. So we have a long history of accepting enhancements, but I have a feeling that that's not what most of our listeners are thinking about when we're talking about enhancements.
What do you think they're thinking about?
I think they might be thinking about Roger Clemens. They might be thinking about,
of course, doping.
Doping or Or they might be thinking about things we're going to talk about a little later in the program, stem cells, which are an enhancement of a natural phenomenon applied to really serious medical conditions. They might be thinking about manipulating the human genome for the benefit of either selecting against certain traits or selecting for traits, things like that.
Well, those raise a lot of issues as to what constitutes health and what is normal. You know, what is healthy, and how has that definition changed over all the centuries? I mean, what constitutes health, and how these enhancements, are they part of making us more healthy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is natural? What is healthy? What is the normal? Frankly, we don't have definitions for that. You can apply statistics and have a couple of standard deviations on one side of the mean. I think most people are familiar with this bell-shaped curve and so on. And then we sometimes arbitrarily say everything toward the center of that curve is normal. And if you're at one end or the other, it's not normal. But that's just one view of normal or of health. Everyone has to decide for themselves, really. And this gets to the fundamentals of ethics and morality, which I think we're going to talk more about, too. This is a highly individual thing. It doesn't mean that we all are free to go our own way and have our own completely independent ethical system. I guess we are free to do that. But if society did that, it would be chaos. But it does mean that each of us has number of choices in how we arrive at our decisions to do certain things and our view of the world and what's normal. We have a fair amount of latitude.
And most of that, I think, in addition to obviously the statistical aspects of what makes for normal behavior, you know, the average or the mean, has to do with our culture and maybe even our religious tradition, which we will talk about later, as kind of defining that or determining what we view as normal and acceptable.
Culture does play a big role, and I just had an experience recently where I've had a visitor from Japan, a friend of mine for 30 years, and we are going to be studying this about how, certainly in medical ethics or bioethics, how the values that seem to be shared between Japan and the United States might be expressed a little bit differently in the two cultures.
Well, hold that thought because we have to take a short break. Please stay with us. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air 570 WSYR. HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen, along with Dr. Gregory Eastwood, exploring what's wrong with enhancing our bodies and our minds. Well, Dr. Eastwood, before the break, we were talking about a whole variety of human enhancements, everything from vaccinations, cosmetic surgery a bit, although we didn't go into that in great detail. Even something, what came to mind in the break was something like Viagra. Why don't you just define for me again, wrap up for me, this notion of what you would call an enhancement?
Well, it occurs to me that enhancement is a little bit like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder or in the mind of the beholder. It depends a lot on what we value and what we think is important. So an enhancement for the purposes of our discussion, I think, is doing something that will improve a biologic phenomenon or expression in the direction that we think is valuable or beautiful or positive. And if we valued low intelligence for some reason as a society, we would be talking about selecting for low intelligence. If we value high intelligence, which seems to be predominant, we would do the reverse.
And in that case, we might do things like playing Mozart for our babies when they're born.
Yes, when there's very little evidence that that works, but at least it's fun for the parents.
Right. So I see. So basically what you're saying is we have a value of something that's desirable, salutary in some way, and we then would engage in some behavior, a variety of which would lead us to achieving that.
That's
value
right.
in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how does that relate to health I mean, that's the question.
Well, most, not most, but much of what we value is health. I mean, if we don't have our health, then we have nothing, some people think.
Yeah.
Also related to health are things like intelligence and eye color and height and other things that we seem to value. At least the pathway to achieving better expressions of those things seems to be through biology and through medical technology. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Viagra, and of course Viagra is it's a very interesting story, and it literally is sexy, so so it has that added interest to it. But it rests upon a very fundamental biologic chemical discovery. Actually, the discoverers of it received the Nobel Prize in 1998. There is, as it turns out, a signaling compound in our body called nitric oxide, NO for short. And the discoverers of NO found that that is a signaling molecule that dilates blood vessels. And this led to the understanding of how circulation and various organs throughout the whole body work. I mean, that it wasn't focused on the use of Viagra, but
so that was a sidebar. I mean, that was a kind of an ancillary discovery, a side discovery as a result.
Viagra was a side discovery.
That's
correct.
Yes.
Or at least a side application of a very general phenomenon.
Yes.
And so Viagra and drugs like it enhance the production of nitric oxide, and then we know what the result of that is.
Yeah, but that it does have other implications, though, for health overall.
It does, yeah, and through the way the heart works, the way other organs work, and of course, those aren't quite as interesting.
When we were talking about genetic manipulation a little earlier, it seems to me that there, again, there's this issue of the slippery slope, and we'll be talking, continue to talk about that, because I know they're doing it a lot these days with, they've done it for years with plants.
I mean,
mean, that's, if you look at hybrid plant, any kind of hybridization has basically, you know, the wealth and the bounty of our country is based on the fact that we could develop resistant strains of I mean, different kinds of agriculture that's resistant to all kinds of diseases. So genetic manipulation in that case was a wonderful enhancement and leading to our overall health. But there are always there's always that slippery slope because, for example, I understand there's a controversy these days about genetically engineered salmon.
Yeah, that was in the newspaper a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Huge salmon. And is this an appropriate thing to cultivate these salmon or to grow them under controlled circumstances and then sell them, eat them? And you have people, at least reported in the newspaper articles, some people saying, I won't touch the things. Other people saying, yeah, it's great. This is science, and let's go ahead. I think one of the concerns about fish genetic manipulation is that it's very, I'm told, it's very difficult to confine fish to wherever their farm is. It's I'm told, again, that fish escape and get out into the wild. And I think there is a concern, a genuine concern about that.
In terms of the natural food chain and the natural order,
yes.
So that if of these large genetically manipulated salmon were to get out into the natural environment, they might actually be more aggressive.
Who knows? And we have examples throughout our history of where animals have been imported from one country to another for one purpose or another. And then they take over, or plants too.
So it's kind of be careful what we wish for, or be careful what we embark on, because there are a lot of unintended consequences, it seems, to a lot of these things. Even something that you described like Viagra, I understand there were a lot of potential medical problems secondary to the use of something like Viagra.
And of course, the warnings are there for everyone to read or hear on television.
Well, you know, that brings me to the basic concept here about what is right and what is wrong. You alluded to it a little bit before the break when you mentioned your Japanese colleague.
Right.
And some of it obviously is cultural. But first, let me start with asking you, can you define the difference between ethics and morals? I mean, I'm curious because I've been searching my brain for that as well.
Sure. That's a really good question, and it's asked by many people. And frankly, when we use ethics and morals, often we mean roughly the same thing. But
I think their roots are similar. I think I was reading that I think ethics is from the Greek, and morals is from the Latin, but they both kind of ethos, reflect yeah. back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were yeah. ethos and I think mores. Mm-hmm. And I think they both reflect back on this issue of a set of principles yeah. to guide our actions. Yeah. Does that make
that
sense?
That makes
to you?
Sense. And I hadn't thought about it until you just mentioned it, but I think you're right about that. But I'll tell you what we teach our medical students, and I think it's a good distinction. Morality or morals is something that we don't have to think too much about, a moral issue. And I will ask the listeners to think for themselves now, what can you think of it would be a moral issue that you don't really have to ponder about? Many people will say, well, killing. Killing is wrong. And we don't have to really debate that too much. But I would also remind you that under certain circumstances, we as a collective society, even with killing, say that's okay. We're engaged in a couple of wars as a country now.
And under those circumstances, capital punishment.
Capital punishment is another example. Not all states, but some states. And then also killing in self-defense is sometimes illegal defense against killing. And so, but anyway, a moral issue is something that we've pretty much made up our mind about. And that's not to be critical of that. I mean, we all have moral issues that we pretty much decided about. An ethical issue is something that often is more complex in our own minds. And frankly, you can see right away that one person's moral issue might be another person's ethical issue. But
give an example of what you mean by that.
Abortion would be a good example of that. Mm-hmm. Where for some people, the abortion issue is decided. And for other people, it is dependent upon certain lines of reasoning under certain circumstances.
So you're almost saying that morality is more absolute and ethics is more relative. It's almost like a relativism to ethics.
I like your interposition of the word more, because I would never say one. See, I'm using an absolute now.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say one is absolute and the other is relative. But it's in those directions. That's correct. Yeah.
But so much is culturally determined as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are certain practices in some cultures that we might find abhorrent and immoral that are part of their culture. I mean, cannibalism, for example.
Right. Yeah. We hope doesn't exist anymore.
But it did. Mm-hmm. And there were reasons for it. And I think, you know, the idea of eating the heart of an enemy that you might have vanquished, that kind mm-hmm. of thing, so that you somehow took on their spirit. I mean, a lot of things that in today's world we would see as mm-hmm. is very immoral. So getting back to that notion and applying it to some of these issues we've raised, how does one decide what are the bases upon which you make a decision as to what is appropriate or morally sound? Let me give an example. We're talking about, for example, pharmacological intervention. Mm-hmm. Why would the use of marijuana be okay? The use of the doping mechanisms like the anabolic steroids not be okay? Or and then you bring in the whole legal system, because legality
we
is
haven't talked about the law yet.
No, and the law is a whole other issue that layers upon that.
Well, it's very complex, for each of us individually, we integrate our religious, if we have, or spiritual influences, our own values. Also, we integrate what we think is the right thing, just based upon whether we respect science or we don't. Ethics calls us. This is another difference. Ethics calls us to rationalize, meaning use a rational argument to support one or another line of reasoning. The other very important thing, and I tell this to anyone who's willing to listen, and I have a captive audience here, ethics is not a passive sport. It is active, meaning it asks the questions, what is the right thing to do, D-O, do, in a particular situation? What is the right thing to do? And then that means that we go and do it. So
it implies some
action,
action,
some behavioral change.
Well, hold it right there, because once again, we have to take a quick break. This is so fascinating, but we have to just take a break for a moment. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, 570 WSYR.